Let's have you turn tonight to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:9. I just have one verse to get us started. Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. Very simple verse. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, now, reminded here tonight how sometimes in the simplicity of the Word of God, there are great truths even lurking in words that we're really familiar with. Lord, I pray You'll bless meditation, the time it's spent with this here tonight, and may the Holy Spirit be able to use this to give somebody a little kick, Father, a little prod, a little poke, and perhaps some real encouragement, Father, for the battle that we're in and the battle ahead. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, really switch a light on for me in Proverbs 16:9 this week. I would have had no problem amening the verse and feeling like I'd understood what the verse was talking about before. I just want to say its importance is plainer to me in more detail now than it was before this week. Did you ever, you're saved. And you know you're saved. And you're going to a church that preaches the Bible. And you have some standards of separation. And you probably pray. And you probably read your Bible. And that's real good. But even still, did you still ever stop and have to honestly think, you know, I wonder how I'm really doing spiritually. I mean, I wonder where I'm really at. I mean, did you ever wonder how, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, just how it's all going to turn out? I know you're afraid how it may turn out, but I mean, you ever look at yourself? I mean, when you suspect you have a fever, you go get a thermometer, stick it under your tongue for a minute or a minute and a half, whatever it is, and if it comes out 98.6, then you're good, right? It's easy to check. I go now once a month to the Allina thing and have a little blood prick done, and they tell me my blood thickness as far as the international normalization ratio for coagulation. I'm supposed to have thinner blood than you people are because I had a stroke. So as long as my blood is 2.0 to 2.5, I'm good. Real easy to check. Takes 5 minutes. It's a good done deal. Right? So you say, well, I wonder how I'm doing spiritually. And you go down the checklist. Well, I'm saved and I know it. I don't know about you, but I mean, I believe the words of this book. I trust them, everyone. I don't think God does any better communicating with me than through those words right there. I believe every one of them. I'm that far over, okay? Maybe you're not that far as me, but I'm that far over. I attend a Bible-believing Baptist church that labors to preach and teach. In fact, I'm the pastor of it, so I should be doing okay. But, I don't know about you, but I do have a habit of prayer. I do pray not just before meals. I actually pray every day. It's one of the first things that I do when I get up in the morning, is I have a habit of prayer. I have a habit of Bible reading. I have a habit of Bible study. After all, I am a pastor. But you go down your list of checkpoints, and okay, you're separate from the world, and you're not living in open sin anywhere. You don't have a secret life. You don't sneak off to Hinckley every time you get a chance. That's a good thing, right? And having said all that, that's all outward stuff, and you still realize there are still some heart things and motive things that you still, it's hard to quantify and qualify things like maturity and growth and that sort of thing. So I got thinking about that a little bit, and you know, having said that, you still don't know where you are in some ways, even though you're doing the right things. And comparing ourselves among ourselves, the Bible plainly says, does not work. So you can't do it that way, right? I also look around us here in relation to this verse, and you know, I don't know what your perspective is, but I've been in the ministry now for 25 years nearly, and I tell you what, folks, the last 2 or 3 years, the juice has been turned up significantly and stuff going on. I mean, I had a stroke 2 years ago, so it's easy for me to say it's been tougher. But I look around too, and you know, there are things that I know are public knowledge and prayed about often and openly here that folks are going through. At the same time, I'm sure there's lots of stuff that aren't so public, maybe not known at all, that folks are going through. Did you ever look and say, Lord, what in the world is going on and how am I really doing? You know, I like placing the Word of God that show me how I'm really doing. Now, having addressed the problems and stuff, I mean, all the things that seems like folks are going through, it probably won't come as a surprise to you that I earnestly believe that those things are matters of the heart. I mean, we say, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. It's almost become a cliche among us because we understand that's the way things are. Well, I wanted to talk to you about that a little while tonight. Notice Proverbs 16:9, because again, maybe you already got it, but Lord showed me something, I believe, in verse 9 this week that, well, it's been a help to me and maybe it'll be a help to you. It says there, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, I said this was a heart matter. If you punch into a Bible program the word heart or forms of the word heart, you're going to come up with over 1,000 verses to study on a heart, okay? The heart of man. So, I understand that I may have missed something here tonight. There may be something I should have folded in that I didn't because it's a broad subject. But it says there in chapter 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The title of this message is My Heart and My Steps. And the design here is to help answer what is God doing with me? And by the way, how am I doing with what God's doing with me? All right? First of all, notice verse 9 once again. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I'm going to start by, the first point is something I want you to think about. It's a likely disparity. Now, what I mean by that is this. What does God want from me? God's goal for me is that I would come out of this not just in the rapture, not just in the resurrection, but that I would come out of this life if I die before the rapture as much like Jesus Christ as possible. I've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's given me the Word of God, which the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, is the mind of Christ. I have access to the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to get as much of this in my mind as possible so that I too can have the mind of Christ and think like Christ and reason like Christ and set standards like Jesus Christ. Correct? Now, He wants me to come out of this as much like Christ as possible. Now, in verse 9 it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So I'm supposed to come out of this as much like Christ as possible. So what does God do? God directs my steps. Right? It says right there, He directs my steps. Okay, what does that mean? That means He's given me, again, the mind of Christ in the Word of God. He's given me directives. He's given me commandments. He's given me instruction. He urges me to learn. He urges me to know. And besides directing my steps with a book, it goes a little beyond that because I'm not getting weird hyper-Calvinist here, but God does direct my steps in some manner, providentially and sovereignly. Right? I mean, there are things that God chooses to bless in my life that I do, and there are things that He chooses not to bless, and that's a providential decision on His part. If He doesn't want to honor something I'm doing, He doesn't have to. But providentially, He directs my steps by blessing me in things He wants to bless me in, and perhaps even thwarting me in things that he wants to thwart me in, right? Laying obstacles in my course that he wants me to get over or get through, correct? He gives me trials. He allows me tribulation, same as you. He ordains certain obstacles. He tries my patience. He puts my faithfulness on trial. He gave me a stroke. Right? That is the Lord directing my steps. Do you agree? We okay so far? All right. In this verse, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. This is about my heart and my steps. Having said that, God is responsible for my steps. Who is responsible for my heart? I'll give you a preview. I am. Don't get me wrong. I know some verses. I know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I know that's true. We've also studied carefully how Pharaoh had his own part in getting that whole ball rolling down the course, right? God did involve himself in Pharaoh's heart, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened before he got started, and he was stubborn, mule-headed stubborn, correct? I know the Lord did something to the heart, for instance, of Bezaleel. I mean, Bezaleel was the guy that the Lord imputed wisdom. I don't think that's the word that's used, but he gave him wisdom to be able to form all the furniture and so on of the tabernacle. I mean, he gave him wisdom in his heart. Now, let me give you one more verse here. Go to 2 Thessalonians for a second. And my tenet here is that God directs my steps. If I ask you who's responsible for my heart, my answer to you is that I am responsible for my heart. You are responsible for your heart. The Lord may deal with your heart, yes. But as far as being responsible for where it winds up, you are responsible for it. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I started searching around looking for keys in this. And I did find one place where the Lord, for instance, directs a man's heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice verse 5. It says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Okay, sounds like there the Lord is accessing my heart, our hearts, and is being asked to direct them. However, look in verse 4. "We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." That direction of heart the Lord is allowed there revolves around commands that God gave the apostles to tell you. Look down in verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." My point is just the point that with regard to my heart and my steps, the Lord directs my steps. And I control, or should control, my heart. And, I mean, the Lord will direct my heart if I will obey His commandments. Correct? Think about this. I mean, biblically, my heart is not God's responsibility. My heart is my responsibility. For instance, Proverbs 23:19, "Guide thine heart in the way." It's your responsibility. Correct? "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." It's your responsibility to keep your heart. Correct? Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding." It's your responsibility with what you do with your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You're commanded at every turn to keep it, to watch it, to let it, and to not let it. You are responsible for your heart. Now, here's the deal. Okay? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. How's this work? Young boy sees his first Major League Baseball game, World Series game, when he's 8 or 9 years old. From that point on, He has a dream one day to play in the major leagues and to make it to Game 7 in the World Series. I mean, starting at 8 years old, all he can think about as far as what he wants to do, his dream, that old sacred dream, is to make it to the major leagues and to be a major league baseball player. And so he gets a T-ball and bat and all that kind of stuff, plays little league, goes to high school, gets recruited for college, although not as to as big a school as he would like to go to. Goes through college, he's a decent baseball player, not a great baseball player, although he thinks he's better than he is. And he somehow does not get drafted like he would like. And in the first tryout with the first major league team, the Texas Rangers, he flops out and gets cut. And so he spends the rest of his next several years of his life, all the way through his 20s, playing semi-pro ball and so on and so forth, and just never seems to be able to break through. In time, there's an injury that takes place. He has an MCL tear or whatever that basically knocks him out so that he cannot play Major League Baseball. His heart devised and dreamt that he would be a Major League Baseball player one day, and God directed otherwise. Did not give him the talent, gave him injuries at key points in his life, and he just never made it. See, I mean, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Here's Kyle Stevens. He was saved at 10 years old, was a good athlete through high school, went to college, and his great and understandable dream was to be an All-American shot putter. Now, that doesn't sound like much to you, but it controlled my life for about 5 or 6 years. I went to college, and I worked my tail off to be an All-American shot putter. Interestingly enough, the Lord had other designs. I mean, I dreamt about it. I thought about it. Trained for it. It was eat, drink, and sleep, aside from college itself, college courses themselves. My free time was spent eating, sleeping, and drinking, training to be an All-American shot putter. One injury after another happened. My knees just would never take the battering, and in time after 4 years, I basically had to walk away from it. I'd done nothing but rehab for the entire 4 or 5 years that I labored for it, and it just plainly wasn't going to work out. See, my heart devised my way, but the Lord directed my steps. The Lord thwarted my steps. He gave steps that would keep me from succeeding in the thing that I dreamt of and that my heart devised. Right? Here's David Spurgeon. David Spurgeon is laboring earnestly to climb the ladder in the biker club he was in, and was climbing the ladder and doing well. However, the Lord saw fit to put him in jail and to send a preacher along, and everything changed. The Bible says there, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. See, folks, I said this was about a disparity. See, the disparity is the Lord directs your steps. The Lord has the will for your life, but your heart isn't aligned with what God's directing. And so because the heart is not aligned, then the Lord introduces some other steps that are supposed to correct the alignment. The Lord is responsible for my steps. I am responsible for my heart. Right? Now, with that said, there's another thing I need you to see. We've looked at the likely disparity. Down in verse 9, it says, a man's heart deviseth his way. Let me talk for a minute about the heart's devices. It said, a man's heart deviseth his way. Now, let me tell you something. You are not equipped to do all you think you are equipped to do in your own life. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. It says a man's heart deviseth his way, but there's a problem with that way, right? Chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Your heart devises devices and you find a way to justify it. It's right in your eyes. Look down in chapter 21, verse 8. While we're there, the way of man is froward. Froward means willfully contrary. So often, what your heart devises is not right. Now, it may not be open, licentious, wicked, nasty, dirty sin, but it's not in accord and it's not in alignment with what God's directing. You see what I'm saying? So there's a disparity, right? You have God directing, and then you have man's heart, which I'm responsible for, devising. And if my heart is not devising what God's directing, there's a disparity, and we have a problem. Right? Now, I'm talking about the heart's devices. I need to show you this. Notice chapter 16, verse 9 once again. Says there, a man's heart deviseth his way. It doesn't say that a man deviseth his heart's way. It speaks here almost as if the heart is an independent entity that dictates to the man. So I will say this, in light of that, it is dangerous for you to say, I'm following my heart. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, because from what that verse testifies that the heart is capable of taking over. And you don't want your heart to take over in spite of the romantic, idealistic, fairy tale notions that are spread by Hollywood and romance novels. You do not want your heart taken over. I'll show you why. Look in Jeremiah 17. Some of this is nothing new to you, and I'm not going to camp for very long. Jeremiah chapter 17. And notice verse 9, Jeremiah 17, 9. Says there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, when my heart deviseth my way, I've got to make sure that I stay in control of my heart. Because my heart devises, the Lord directs. If what my heart devises is not in accord and in alignment with what God directs, we're going to have us a conflict. And you just know how much I love conflict in my life. I just love so much to have the Lord show up and just tear my car apart and everything doesn't go right today. And I just love that when that happens, where we have a conflict, right? All right, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a bad thing. Look in Proverbs 19 real quick. Proverbs 19, another testament to the heart. I'm talking about the heart's devices. We've talked about the likely disparity. That is, what so often happens is what a man's heart devises is altogether out of whack with what God's directing. And so now we're talking about the heart's devices. Notice Proverbs chapter 19 and notice verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. That verse testifies of what a song says. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. By nature, man's heart is deceitful and wicked. By nature. And by nature, left to itself, without being carefully guided and kept diligently by you, it frets against the Lord. Do you ever read in Leviticus about the fretting leprosy? That is leprosy that is in a woolen cloth or something, or even in the skin, and it just stays aggravated and continues to spread and spread and spread. It's fretted. When your dog has a sore back leg or front leg or whatever, the vet will take him, dress the wound, and then put a lampshade over the dog's head. And the lampshade does like this, so the dog cannot turn around and bite on his leg. Because what he's doing when he's biting the leg, he's fretting the wound, and the wound is going to go gangrenous if you're not careful. Correct? Now, folks, my point is, the Bible testifies the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. It's a natural thing. Look furthermore at chapter 19, verse 21. 19, 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Now, my point in saying all this, folks, is that I read Proverbs 16:9. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way. And it says then, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know what I think's going on with everybody here that's going through anything at all? And on your worst day, when you walk outside, you had not only a bad hair day and a bad toenail day, but your car has a flat the moment you walk out of the garage. You know what's going on? What's going on is the Lord is directing your steps and asking you to bring your heart in alignment with what He's directing. And all too often, we don't do it. All too often, we got our own thing going. We're thinking our own thoughts. And we have our own dreams. We have our own devices. And our heart devises, and the Lord directs the steps, sometimes contrary to what the heart devises. Frustration sets in, a little bit of anger here or there. And pretty soon, you've got a full-blown bad day, bad week, bad year going. It's because your heart is not in alignment with how God's directing. You know, I read here, I went through quite a bit of Scripture trying to get my mind around, like I said, 1,000 verses that deal with the heart. I read that the Lord knoweth the heart in Psalm 44, that He looketh on the heart in 1 Samuel 16, that He trieth the hearts in Proverbs 17, that He searcheth the heart in Romans 8, that He ponders the heart in Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 21, and manifests the heart in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But what I still find is that I'm in charge of it. It's been given to me as a trust, and I'm to keep it diligently. The Lord will appeal to the heart. The Lord will try to reprove the heart. He will try to comfort the heart. He will try to instruct the heart. And He will just flat out try the heart. But He doesn't direct the heart. He directs the steps. You direct the heart. You're responsible for your own heart. I am responsible for mine. So I've talked about the likely disparity. I've talked about the heart's devices. Let me talk for a minute in verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let me talk to you for a minute about the Lord's direction. Okay, the Lord directs his steps. The Lord ponders the hearts. Think about that. God stopping and looking at your heart and going, In the midst of feeding all the sparrows and counting all the hairs on His head, He's pondering your heart, going, He ponders the heart. He searches the heart. He knows the heart. He tries the heart and adjusts the man's steps accordingly because the Lord directs the man's steps. You all know some of the stuff going on. I mean, we have to, when we have things we're praying about, you know, Jacqueline and Ian and Tenny and a lot of other stuff, we have to pray and say, God's will be done. All things work together for good to them that love God. God actually controls this and allows this. Right? We have to say that. And because it's right to say that. Because God does allow stuff. So in the midst of dealing with all that, as well as, again, things that are perhaps not publicly known, maybe not known at all, that you're dealing with, think about all the heartbreak the parents go through that watch their kid go through something that they've never been through before. Think about the thoughts on a young man's bed laying in bed at night going through chemo, right? Think about sequences of trials. Think about how things have fallen in your life the last 3 or 4 years, or 4 or 5 years, or 6 or 8 months, whatever it is, where this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And you feel almost to the point of breaking. You get so frustrated, and you thought you had things wrapped up, but it didn't work out that way, and this went wrong again. The repetitiveness, the rut sometimes you fall into, the times that you pray and you pray and you pray, and nothing seems to happen. You know? You have to concede that's the Lord's doing. Because you have to concede the Lord allowed it. Right? The Lord allowed the devil to do to Job what he did. So what's it all about? I got light in Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way. I'm not talking here about punishment. I'm not denominating punishment or chastisement or repercussions because of something you did or did not do. I'm simply talking here about the fact that God directs a man's steps. He gives, entrusts a man's heart to him to be kept. That heart is supposed to be pure. That heart is supposed to be right. That heart is supposed to be exercised in the things of God. The man is supposed to direct and guide that heart and control it. It's supposed to be tender. It's supposed to be pure. But a man's heart deviseth his way. And sometimes, if you let the heart go, the heart takes over the devising and it falls out of alignment with what God's directing. And then God has to redirect things so that it gets your attention, so that you redraw your heart back into line. There's a likely disparity. There is the heart's devices. There is the Lord's direction. And lastly, I'll just say, there's the ultimate design. The ultimate design is that your heart, my heart, would be in accord with what God's doing in my life. I was 18 years old when I left home. Had been an athlete all through high school. Wanted to get off the farm really, 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 really bad. And did. Went to college. Got an athletic scholarship to be able to go to college. I wanted to be... I'd been saved already for over 10 years. I'm sorry. Saved for 8 years. I wanted to be an All-American shot putter. Guess what? God couldn't give a rip about me being an All-American shot putter. The fact of the matter is, I wasted a lot of time and energy I could have been using to much more profitable pursuits of heart. For instance, I could have come out of college knowing God better than when I went in. But guess what? I didn't. I came out of college as blind as a bat. I hadn't grown as a Christian. I want you to know, I was out of the will of God for those 8 years after my salvation. In that time that I went to college, I was out of the will of God. You know why? Because my heart had devised some things, and because my heart's devices were not in alignment, God fixed my wagon. I mean, by the time I reached my sophomore year in high school, I was a miserable young man. I've told you before, you couldn't pay me $1 million to go back and relive my 18, 19, and 20th years. I am not interested. Those were the most miserable years of my life. I would do just about anything to avoid going back and reliving those years. You know why? Because my heart devised some things. And the Lord then directed my steps. And the two just did not fit together. So, all this leads to a couple of simple questions. Some of you, I know what you're going through. We pray for Ian all the time. Pray for Ian's family all the time. We pray for Jacqueline all the time. There are others here that have problems and stuff that you're praying about that you, other folks know about. But that aside, how goes that battle? That's the question that I'm asking you. Everybody's going through stuff, got a bad economy, a bad president, an election coming up, and you don't like your job, and your health is sometimes not the best, and et cetera, et cetera. How goes the battle? Do you know where you're at? That's how we started this. Do you know where you're at? How does the alignment of your heart work with the steps God's directing? And if there's still a major disparity, that may be the reason that things aren't really right. How goes that battle? How much progress have you made in the last 2 years in your Christian life? Maturity is hard to quantify. Growth is hard to quantify. Like we can number verses. We can number the number of times I've read through my Bible in the last 10 years. We can number that. We can quantify that. But there are some things that are hard to quantify or qualify. And in light of what we're talking about tonight, how much progress have you made in the last 2 years? Surely you have some idea of what God's trying to do with you in the last 2 years, in 2 years, right? How's that battle going? How much progress have you made in light of bringing your heart into alignment with where God's leading, with God's will for your life, the manifest, directed will of God? How's that going? Are you close to alignment? What has He accomplished in your heart in the last month? I mean, kids get born. Kids grow a little bit every month. Maybe not inches and inches, but kids grow. Joseph does, but kids don't grow inches and inches every month. Boy, does he eat too. Whew. Anyway. But there should have been something accomplished in your life in the last month. Now, what progress have you made in this respect in the last month? I have one last verse for you, then we're done. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Is your heart's way, since you are the controller of it, is your heart's way in alignment with how God's directing? Look in 1 Peter 3. And notice verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. We just were back here not too long ago. Notice verse 15, how it starts. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. It goes on to say some other things. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You are called to control your heart. You're called to guide it. You're called to keep it. You're called to make sure that it's on the right path. You're not called to follow it. And where you do, that heart is going to, you're going to give that heart its rein, its head, like you give a big stallion his head, and he's going to run off with you. Your heart's going to run off with you. And then the Lord is going to have to direct your steps. It's going to have to be a detour. He's going to have to start tossing stuff in your way so that your steps stumble, and now you're miserable because you are out of alignment. I'm not talking about a chiropractic alignment either. You're out of alignment with God's will for your life in your heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, don't know if it's been a help, but it helped me. I pray that you would bless some words here tonight, Father, that we've spoken, some ideas that we've done our very best to get across. Again, Lord, I was reminded of just how much the Lord does look on the heart. We have well over 900 plus verses that talk about men's hearts. And Father, it's almost overwhelming amount of material. We've covered a mere segment of it here tonight. But Father, I pray you'd give some folks some thoughts of their own hearts. Help them, Lord, to labor to bring their hearts in alignment with what you're trying to do and how you're guiding and directing from the Word of God. We sometimes resist and fight. You called the Jews a stiff-necked people and a stubborn people. And they were because they would not soften their necks and yield to the way you were leading. Father, we are no better. Pray you'd help us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to number 333 as we stand. 333. Give you a chance to come, maybe if the Lord's dealt with you about something. We are, seems like all our prayer meetings here are swamped with things people are going through. It's not always earth-shattering or necessarily life-changing, but there are people that go through that as well. We're sensitive to those things and pray about those things and cry about those things. But the Lord's doing stuff, each and every one of us here, folks. Wonder how aligned your heart is with what God's doing with your steps. Sing the fourth stanza, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Father, thank you for tonight and a good day today. We rejoice, Lord, that Chris got saved, and it's just a blessing to have somebody come like that, needy and finding the answers, being tender enough to respond when he should have. I pray you'd bless him, Father, again, protect him from the wolves and the buzzards, and get him, Father, grounded in the Word of God, Lord. We want to do all that we can to be a part of that, so I pray you'd be with him. And give watch care over him in these next days to come when it's so critical that he grow. Father, we pray you'd bless as we dismiss here tonight. Appreciate the fellowship we've had today, your goodness to us through Christ.
Thank you for the truth. You give us the salt and the light. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks. Appreciate you being here.